All right, all right. For the final time, really for the first time, since this is our first 11 o'clock show of the new year, Happy New Year. But you really can't keep up the Happy New Year thing after January 5th. Today's pretty much the cutoff date for all that. But Happy New Year to you. Welcome back. Couple of milestones reached over the little holiday break that we took here. We have passed 50,000 subscribers. Thank you all so very, very much for helping me do that. And today is our 11 a.m. West Coast show, number 601. So over 600 of these things sitting down, getting together every day, us Plusers here at 11 a.m. Thank you so much for being here for all of it. Your presence is the reason why I'm allowed to get away with even doing this. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Good to see you. Happy New Year's all around. Happy New Year to Rick. Oh, Chef A, Happy New Year. We got a Happy New Year to Michael. We got everybody in here. We got to pound it from Joe. Good to see you. And yes, I don't know if I can handle a loss to the Eagles from SF Indigo. Look who's also here.
Oh, yo, yo, yo.
The postman who is all out of Plusmania stickers that he has put everywhere he goes. Thank you so much, postman. Appreciate you. All right. So if the 49ers team that we just saw against the Seattle Seahawks shows up in Philadelphia, it's going to be a bloodbath. Okay, it will be a bloodbath. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think that the Eagles are anywhere in the universe of as defensively good as the Seahawks are right now. They're still a good defense. Don't get me wrong. The Eagles' defense isn't that far removed from a defense that won a Super Bowl just a year ago, but that is not the same Eagles' offense, and that is not the same Eagles' special teams. And I don't think the 49ers could have a more scared money game plan to execute against anybody. I mean, that was atrocious. It was a terrible way to end what has otherwise been a season that felt like it was going to end with a really, you know, kind of some oomph, like not a thud. That was a thud. That's the lowest point total we have seen a Kyle Shanahan team score. That was the worst offensive game plan we've seen in a really, really long time. I don't think Kyle's going to be that bad 2 weeks in a row. I don't think Brock is going to do that little 2 weeks in a row. And I do know that this team is pretty damn good on the road. Now, there won't be a lot of Niner fans creeping into the link. We all know that Eagles fans will keep them out, but they're good on the road, and I'm going to tell you, if the team that we've seen most of the year, even with its galactically unimpressive defense, and I'm going to tell you right now, be ready. The Eagles are going to gash you for huge plays. Gash you for huge plays. Every team is going to gash the 49ers for huge plays. What happens at the end of that play? Are they kicking field goals? Are they punting? Are they scoring touchdowns? That was what was so frustrating against the Seahawks. They were missing field goals. They weren't scoring touchdowns. If you would have said to me, Seattle's only going to score 13 points today, did the 49ers win or lose? I would say, oh man, we'll bet the kids on that. 49ers are going to win that game. They did not win that game. They can win this game in Philadelphia. They will have a shot in Philadelphia. The momentum that I know a lot of people are worried about, I'm telling you, momentum really doesn't even exist in between halves of football games, much less weeks of football games, much less new seasons of football. And that's what this is. The regular season, she's in a rearview mirror. The only thing you did was get to here. Here is either where it begins or it ends in Philadelphia. I don't even know if I can really say the Niners are going to win this game. They probably shouldn't, but I do think they can. I do think that they can do it. I really do. We are going to, over the next couple of days, really get into the nitty-gritty and the matchup. I'm trying to get in a few friends from Philadelphia, including our own pal, Sam Batesh, who I believe is going to join us on Tuesday. On Wednesday, we're going to try to arrange a little something special to really bring you into this game, which will be kicking off on Sunday, by the way. And let's see, on Thursday, I'm off to Atlanta. While we were away, did you happen to notice that Indiana won the Rose Bowl? in about as convincing fashion as we've ever seen a team win a Rose Bowl, absolutely annihilating not just Alabama, but the myth of the SEC all at once. You're welcome, America. Enough of that. The Hoosiers are going to the Peach Bowl, and so is this guy. I cannot wait to go to the Peach Bowl. I cannot wait to see this team in person. Now, I hope I don't turn myself into the usual Indiana football mush, but the last time I got on a plane to see this team, they actually won. So maybe that happens again, and if they do, they're in the national championship game. And I'm just going to tell you, if Fernando Mendoza can put Indiana in the national championship game, maybe he can be the guy that actually turns the Raiders up. Whoa. We can't expect him to perform two miracles in a football lifetime, can we? We'll get to that in just a second. But look, the scared money game plan in Philadelphia is going to lose that game. The throwing underneath the sticks, not attacking downfield. And, you know, Larry and I got into it on Wake Up on Sunday morning when we did a Wake Up the day after the 49ers played on Saturday. And, you know, he blamed a lot of that loss on the defense. And I get it. It's football is a connected sport. You know, you can't get into a rhythm if you can't get off the field. I get all that. But again, if you would have sold me 13 points at the beginning of the game, I would have bought it 100 out of 100 times and said the 49ers would have won. 3 points, terrible offensive output, predictable plays. Where's all the Kyle Juszczyk motion wiggle that has been opening up big opportunities over the last few weeks? That didn't even happen. You had Brock Purdy taking 5-step drops when he had an entire defensive line in his face on 4th and short. Kyle's punting on 4th and 2 on his own side of the 50 when it's officially, you got to rev something up or you're going to do nothing. So that was disappointing. It was a staggeringly disappointing football game. Rearview mirror, the whole thing. I've been saying for over 2 months now, burn the tape. What's next? Burn that tape. What is next? Is Trent Williams playing in Philadelphia? Instantly, I feel better. By the way, cheers. A little sip of the day coming up here. We got ourselves a pretty good wild card weekend in front of us. Really, seriously, on Saturday, look at that. In the ceremonial Houston Texans first playoff game that Saturday window, we don't have the Houston Texans. It's Rams and Panthers. Rams and Panthers are going to start our wild card weekend on Saturday. Packers and Bears in Chicago, one of the NFL's oldest rivalry. All I'm going to tell you is, watch the Bears, who have been playing terrible football lately. Watch them lose that home game to the Green Bay Packers. I hate it. It's going to happen, isn't it? On Sunday, Bills and Jags at the beginning of our wild card Sunday. 49ers, Eagles, we will be live with a watch party at 1:30 West Coast time. I hope you plan on being here. Again, this is why I ask you to like and subscribe. Hit that notify button. Don't miss us. We just had one of our biggest watch parties of the year, and nobody left very happy. Hopefully, people will be a lot more happy at the end of this watch party. That would be a playoff win. We went from talking about Kyle Shanahan, coach of the year candidate, to everybody going, what the hell was that, Kyle? And rightfully so. I mean, the critics come out for Kyle with knives in situations that really don't require knives. That one did. That was awful. And I know Seattle's good, but they ain't that good. They are favored to win the Super Bowl, though. Right now in Las Vegas, they are. Rounding out the Sunday night game, again, you get Bills and Jags, followed by 49ers, Eagles at 1:30 West Coast time. And then Chargers and Patriots will be the nightcap on Sunday. And what do you know? Instead of starting the wild card weekend, the Houston Texans will actually end it. They're heading to Pittsburgh. The Steelers winning a walk-off. It was a missed field goal by the Steelers last night. Missed field goal, excuse me, by the Ravens after the Steelers missed a point after touchdown to leave the door open. Lamar Jackson on a huge fourth down play gets them in field goal range. But John Harbaugh, who's got a little bit more time and timeouts to stop the clock, doesn't try to get his rookie kicker any closer in a field that has always hated mid-range 40-yard field goals. That field in Pittsburgh might be the worst in football that's actually natural turf. I don't think anything's worse than MetLife's field, at least its reputation. But That field in Pittsburgh has been unkind to field goal kickers, and John Harbaugh, who had time to spare and timeouts to use, set up his field goal kicker to miss one. Ravens out, Steelers in. Aaron Rodgers, one last stand against the best defense in football in the Houston Texans. I would not be surprised if we're up next week and looking at the Rams, the Packers, the Jaguars, the Eagles, the Patriots, and the Texans, almost likely to move on. The two teams that I think have the biggest chance to flip that are the 49ers at the Eagles and the Bills at the Jaguars. I wish I had that much confidence to say, yeah, the Bears, Ben Johnson, home game, they'll beat the Packers. That's a bad defense. That's a bad defense. It is hard to take a bad defense in a postseason game. It's hard to believe in a player in the NBA whose entire career scoring average is predicated on free throws in the postseason. This is why James Harden has never won a thing. This is why Joel Embiid will never win a thing. You don't get the ticky-tack in the NBA's postseason, and you don't get to do what you want to do offensively all over the field in an NFL's postseason. So Shanahan better be deep into his playbook this week. They better find a way to run guys open. If they don't have the actual speed to do it, scheme that shit up, Kyle. That's what your team needs, and they need it badly. But again, I would not be surprised. Like, here, get ready to send this to Awful Announcing or Old Takes Exposed. If we sit down together on Tuesday next week, I wouldn't be surprised if it were Rams, Packers, Jaguars, Eagles, Patriots, Texans still alive. Maybe the Bills upset the Jaguars. Maybe the 49ers upset the Eagles. Otherwise, I feel pretty good about what I've said. It is really good to have you here. We got a couple of supers already in. Thank you so much to Thomas, who says San Francisco's responded well to losses all season. Yes, they have. Again, they can circle the wagons. Do they have the horses to win the race? Can they make the stop on third down that isn't, hey, it's third and 17. Seattle's running a white flag, the drive play, and all of a sudden, you're watching what Kenneth Walker run for 19 yards on third and 17. That was the single worst defensive play of the entire season for the San Francisco 49ers. Joseph Ernberg says, time to look at draft. Top three seeds in the draft. Top three needs in the draft and free agency. Joseph, we're going to let the playoffs come to an end before we start turning that page. There's a reason why I'm the host, and there's a reason why you're in the audience. It is not NFL draft time. It's playoff time. Let's see what you got. I remember you declaring this season dead back in week 7. This season still has a pulse. Is it the strongest life force I've ever seen? No, but they're still alive. They're still alive. Kyle always does this, which just screws up in big moments. You want to say he doesn't win big games? Look, any playoff game is a big game. He might not win the biggest of games. He didn't win against Seattle. I'm not making excuses, but you win as many playoff games as Kyle has, already the third most in the history of the whole franchise. You can win a big game. When Kyle reaches the postseason, he usually reaches the NFC title game. Just saying that out loud. Not because I'm trying to pretend, because it's true. It's true. Let's see what happens. I think he's a better coach than Sirianni. Chosen 1494. Damon, any news on practice squad poaches? Or does Larry only do that? Yeah, I'm going to tell you right now. You're not finding anybody this time of year who's going to affect or help a playoff game. Yet Larry only scrapes the bottom of the barnacles thinking that he's going to find a pearl in the oyster. That's not what you get this time of year. There was a time of year to do that. This ain't that time of year. The linebacking situation against the Eagles is something to be concerned about. You hope D. Winters is better. You hope that Tatum Bethune can go. If you don't, I've seen this team win a lot of uphill battles. That's going to be one of the toughest of the year. Jags are going to have to go on with the upset. The Bills are favored in that game. I hear you, but I don't like the way the Bills closed out their season. It feels like the best of the Bills is in the rearview mirror. I got to be honest. Jaguars look to me to be the team that is more coming on at the right time than they will. Sundalio 916 says, just watched Acho's film breakdown of the 49ers defense from Saturday. Didn't realize how bad Bethune played. Most of the big runs were because of him. He didn't have a good game. Period. End of story. And I'll tell you, Seattle's offensive line did a great job getting up into that second level and just pinning linebackers who were out of position in the first place. So I have not seen that yet, but I hear you. Is Ike going with Damon to Atlanta? No, Ike. I don't think Ike is going to be at the Peach Bowl, but I'm going to tell you, Ike will be on Radio Row with me during the Super Bowl. Whether the 49ers are in the Super Bowl or not, I will be there. You can't bring a Super Bowl to my city of San Francisco and have me not be a part of that media event. No way. I'm going. Football, all about advancing and moving forward. You don't look back. Computer enthusiast 402. Amen. Correct. That's what has to happen. That's what has to happen. We got Lyle said, Kyle gets owned by top-tier defenses. Well, that's what top-tier defenses do. Top-tier defenses take really good teams, really good game plans, and they just crap all over them. That's why that cliche wins championships, not the other way around. So there's no doubt. They'll be up against it. You're not telling me anything I don't know. But man, oh man, oh man. They got a puncher's chance. Everybody's got a puncher's chance. I'm going to tell you right now, there is no great team in this postseason. Not one. Not a single great team. I've been saying this all year. A pretty good team is going to be this year's Super Bowl champion. Based on just we know about 12-5. Well, 12-5 doesn't count because I didn't like the schedule. 12-5 is the softest schedule in football. Hey, did you see the graphic about, hey, now that the season is played, what was your schedule really like? And the 49ers did not play the easiest schedule in football. They played a middle-of-the-pack schedule in football. So it wasn't they just beat up on cream puffs. They played a down-the-road middle professional football season, and they finished it, in spite of their own injuries, 12-5. This is not excuse making. This is not house organ playing. This is what we just all collectively saw and watched together. Again, if you didn't believe at any point in time, you've kind of already been proven a little bit wrong. And you don't want to start believing now, because then you will say that you might have been a little bit wrong. And no one has the balls anymore to just say out loud, you know, maybe I handicapped that one wrong. If the 49ers season ends in Philadelphia, all things considered, still a pretty damn good year. It should have been over in week 7. It isn't. You know, what team in football missed that many games from a middle linebacker who's going to the Hall of Fame? That many games from a defensive end who's going from a Hall of Fame? A handful of games from a tight end who's going to the Hall of Fame? Missing all those games and having to go to a backup quarterback who, again, before he got to the 49ers, was a laughing point, a punchline. Nobody had any respect for Mac Jones right until now. Now he's got some respect. But, and you know, oh, Mac is better. Mac is better. That was the same crowd who said he was terrible. He's the worst. He sucks. Why did the Niners sign him? Turned into a guy that everyone said, well, no, he's better than Brock Purdy. No, he's not. And we've seen Brock Purdy play football that screams, I am better than that guy. There's a reason why I'm the starting quarterback. But a lot of people just don't want to admit I might have got that one wrong. I'm not here to tell you that this season is going to end the way you want it. But this season has ended in a way that I don't think there's anything to be embarrassed about. You want clown shows? You want laughable franchises? You want trash can and garbage can and dumpster flaming emojis? Look around the league on Black Monday. This league is full of those teams. 49ers are guilty of being close, but not close enough. And to me, that is not a capital offense. That is not a kill everyone, get everyone out of here, everyone's a bum. I would like to see someone other than John Lynch signing off on the upcoming NFL draft. I would. I think John Lynch is a weaker link towards Super Bowl success than he is a strong link based on what we have as results from decisions he's made. You know, it stinks that the vast majority of second, third, and fourth round picks this team has uncovered do nothing or get redshirted. It stinks that Ricky Pearsall seems to be a little bit too fragile to play at this level. Now, maybe it's just a, you know, maybe he'll shake that off. A big game in Philadelphia, no one's going to be talking about what glass Ricky Pearsall is. But I need to see that big game in Philadelphia, man. This guy officially owes the team one after bowing out of a game that his coach said, well, he might have been able to play that the week after. That's not good. That's just not good. Or not the week, excuse me, the week after, the day after. Kyle Shanahan said on Saturday, if we had played Sunday, Ricky Pearsall could have probably played. Well, then that's not any fear of structural anything. That's straight up pain management. Can you suck it up and give it a go? Ricky said, nah, I don't like that. I'm also one to tell you that you should never be impressed by my pain tolerance for another man's pain. That's not my knee. I don't know. But I wanted to see him out there. I did. Again, we've got here, Paul, we don't care about a pretty darn good season. We want a Super Bowl. Everyone wants a Super Bowl. Wanting to win it all does not make you special. How old are you, Paul? How many Super Bowls has your team won in your lifetime? You know, everyone wants to win a Super Bowl. You can believe me, they're earnestly trying to do that. But you got to have the stars align and the right team and the right players. And I don't know if they got that this year, but they're in the right situation to take a shot at it. You can't ask for more than that, man. Sorry. I mean, you know, I guarantee everybody, they're Jacksonville Jaguar fans want a Super Bowl. Houston Texans fans want a Super Bowl. If all you understand is Super Bowl equals good year of football, no Super Bowl equals bad year of football, there's no difference between the season that the 49ers just had and the Raiders just had in your mind, man, you are a tough customer who lives in a fantasy land that just does not exist. I want you to win a Super Bowl. I don't think it'll be happening this year, but I don't think you got the wrong team. And again, Joseph, this is a loser franchise. Not if we're using winning percentages, not if we're using observable reality and math. The 49ers, let me get Gemini up here. I need a little AI. Let me do this since everybody's just so testy today here. Here we go. Best NFL winning percentage since 2019. It'll be the Kansas City Chiefs on top for sure. Then it'll probably be the Eagles. Now, here we go. It is the Kansas City Chiefs with a 7-10 winning percentage since 2019. Then it's the Buffalo Bills, who are at 680. Then it's the Baltimore Ravens, who are at 640. Then it's the San Francisco 49ers, who are at 620. So again, the fourth best winning percentage in the NFL a loser franchise. Joseph, if you don't mind me saying, you have no clue as to what it is to actually be a winner yourself. I mean, you're projecting your own loser nature life onto this team. The 49ers, disappointing. Have they reached the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow? Have they caught the leprechaun? No, they haven't. Calling them a loser franchise is a straight up admission that you are on the bunny slope of sports understanding. Joseph, go back to kindergarten. That's where your sports instincts lie. This over here, this is a graduate degree course. No wonder why you're so frustrated every day. I've moved on to lesson plans and you're on remedial understanding. You know, I don't know what to tell you, man. The team's got the fourth best winning percentage since 2019. And if they're a loser franchise, what are the other 28 teams behind that? Teams behind them, they've won Super Bowls. So they're more winners, I guess, in your eyes. Okay. There is a remedial group of 49er fans who have been so misled by bad faith content creators that shaking your fist at the clouds is all you understand. I'm the old man who shakes his fist at the clouds. That's my job. Look at this. I'm 50 years old. My gray beard, my gray hair makes me look like I'm 60 years old. I'm supposed to be the old man tying the onion on his belt because it was in fashion at the time. Luckily, I've watched more football than half of you. Luckily, I understand more about sports than most of you, which is why you're here, which is why I ask you to hit like and subscribe today, please. Good Lord. Good Lord. Loser franchise. Again, Carl, thank you. I mean, calling them a loser franchise is fucking delusional. It is. You know, I'm sorry you haven't won your Super Bowl. They're not a loser franchise. Good God. So anyway, you want to talk loser franchises? Great. That's our next topic. I see that Pete Carroll is out of Las Vegas today. One and done in Las Vegas after a 3-14 season. The only thing that Pete Carroll delivered was the number one pick in the draft. And unfortunately, my guy Fernando Mendoza is going to play behind the single best offensive line he's ever going to play behind in the Peach Bowl. Because if he's going to the Raiders, he's in a lot of trouble. You know, Fernando is going to be a Raider. And I will root for him to succeed. I believe he will be crippled by what is a staggering amount of dysfunction that comes from the owner's office. But the Raiders got a couple of shots here. I do like their general manager, John Spytek. I do like JT the Brick. He's a good friend of mine. I think that Tom Brady is a voice that, if leaned into and used the right way, like, that's a really good trash heap for the Fraggles to have out back to go get advice from, don't you think? Let's go see if Marjorie can help. The trash heap is spoken. Me. That's what Brady is. You know, he's the trash heap. Tom, you got any advice here? Only bad teams fire good coaches. No, excuse me. No, I'm going to stick with that. Only bad teams fire good coaches. Now, Pete Carroll, he was a good coach. And then he gets to the silver and black, and like all things silver and black, that stink gets on him. And I do think the game, you know, quickly, look, Pete Carroll was brought in to change the culture and bring instant credibility to a team that desperately needed it. And unfortunately, Pete Carroll had his Nepo hire kids basically install bad game plans and bad principles all up and down the team. Then he lost the locker room to the first degree. And then he loses the one guy you can't lose and still be Raiders coach, Max Crosby, because Max Crosby's got more football credibility in him than the entire franchise has, and it's fine. So it was going to be over and done, and it was curtains for Pete Carroll. Who do they hire next? Can they not screw this one up? That would be amazing, because let me tell you, for the Raiders, it's a never-ending clown show. I'm just going back to the day they fired John Gruden, right? They fired John Gruden, who was absolutely turning things around, but because John Gruden had a few words that you're not supposed to ever use out loud in an email, in private emails, and that went public, Mark Davis didn't stick to his convictions and keep a really good coach who was turning things around. You know who the Raiders should hire? John Gruden. They should. I'm half kidding, but I'm half serious. I think John Gruden and Fernando Mendoza would be good together. Anyways, Mark Davis would not back his guy, bowed to public pressure, and fired the only good coaching decision he really made. And in that good coaching decision, he gave him the most ridiculous contract of all time. But that's okay. Gruden was credible. Gruden was out the door. Bisaccia gets hired. Bisaccia, he's all right. He gets a shot, but then he is blown out in 2022 to bring in Josh McDaniels. This is not Josh McDaniels coming out of New England the first time around when he was this rose that grew out of the Belichick garden and people were excited about him. He was an offensive mind. No, this is the guy who had already blown up, what, Denver, told the Colts, I'm coming, then I'm not coming. Like, Josh McDaniels was long past his rising star and was more of sort of a snake by the time the Raiders got their hooks in him. The hire was made anyways. By 2023, there was a full team-wide mutiny against the guy. They absolutely despised him as a coach. He inspired no one, nothing, none of the time. So what do? They bring in a players guy. They promote and elevate Antonio Pierce. Antonio Pierce, for a minute, you know, everyone kind of wanted that to work, but it was obvious it wasn't going to work. And by 2024, again, Antonio Pierce is now, you're officially the coach, but by 2025, he's out, and now it's Pete Carroll. And Pete Carroll, again, he's got to instantly bring credibility and culture change. The opposite happened. You know, I tweeted Pete Carroll should have been let go in week 5. And someone was like, no. Well, you know, he did his job. He got him the number one pick. Believe me, you don't pay Pete Carroll multi-year money like they paid him to come in and be the guy that gets you the first pick in the draft. You could have absolutely had Antonio Pierce ride out and do that. So Spytek remains. He's got the number one pick. They should take Mark Davis, lock him in a closet, and not even let him out until they tell him who the next head coach is. Mark Davis shouldn't come within a country mile of this next coaching decision because all of his decisions fail almost instantly. You look around the rest of Black Monday. Again, I don't think you should walk away from young, talented coaches. I think Jonathan Gannon, who is now out in Arizona, is a young, talented coach. I think, you know, it's a mistake to let him go. He's more of a good young coach trying to right the ship of a bad franchise than he is a bad young coach who is holding back a good franchise. But the deal is, you can't punch a player, which he did, rightfully so almost. If you drop a football before you go into the end zone, I'm going to hit you too. But that's not the sin that got him fired. The sin that got him fired is he lost 9 in a row. Again, but he made the decision. I'm benching Kyler Murray. We're getting out of the Kyler Murray business. He hung his coaching credibility on Jacoby Brissett to send the message that this guy ain't the guy, which we've all known for years, and he pays the price for that. I think he should have been held on to. I think Jonathan Gannon is going to get hired, by the way, in Cleveland. He's from Cleveland. Don't be surprised to see him go. And this is another one of those bad franchises fire good coaches. Kevin Stefanski out in Cleveland. He's a two-time coach of the year there, But they're saying that he mishandled Shador Sanders. This is debatable. Now, Shador, after Flacco bowed out, after Dylan Gabriel was not the guy, Shador got his shot. It felt like it was a reluctant shot. It felt like it wasn't something Stefanski wanted to happen. And then Shador goes 3-4 in his 7 starts. Now, that sounds pretty good, right? In Cleveland, in a bad situation, he goes 3-4. Not bad, right? Well, let me tell you, Kevin Stefanski's hesitation to go to Shador Sanders is proven true in this statistic alone. Are you sitting down? Are you sitting down? By the way, I'm not anti-Shador Sanders. I'm not pro-Shador Sanders. To me, just a guy. Just a guy. But he's actually a little bit worse than that. Here's the deal. What do you think over his 7 starts, Shador Sanders' quarterback rating was? So Brock Purdy just had a bad game, right? Hold on, let me open this up here. I just want to, just for comparison, right? 49ers, here. Okay, wait. I should have done this before the show started, but I just thought now is the right time to give you that comparison point. Here we go. So against the Seahawks, where Brock didn't do jack, he was bad, his worst game of the year, right? Against the Seahawks, Brock Purdy had a 64.9 quarterback rating. A 64.9 quarterback rating. He was bad. So 64.9, that's kind of a bad quarterback rating. What was Shador? In the 50s? How about the 40s? I mean, certainly his quarterback rating was then somewhere over those 7 starts in the 30s, right? No? Well, then, my God, it would just be awful if it were in the 20s. No, it's worse than that. Shador Sanders, over 7 starts, his quarterback rating was 18.8. That's the worst quarterback rating in the history of anybody getting 7 starts but for one other guy. That is terrible. Shador Sanders, against the worst defense in football, Cincinnati, was sacked 6 times, was like 11 for 22, and was awful. You know, so I'm telling you, you know, you can't fire a coach who was hesitant to play a quarterback that when that quarterback played had a quarterback rating of 18.8. That's, I believe, worse than Dylan Gabriel's or Joe Flacco's. The Raiders might be smart to hire Kevin Stefanski. I think that, you know, we're seeing a lot of names attached now to the Tennessee Titans opening. And it's weird. They got a whole bunch of defensive coordinators attached to the Tennessee Titans opening. You got to bring in an offensive coach for Cam Ward. You got to bring in a quarterback-friendly coach for your young quarterback. The Tennessee Titans defense, they weren't the problem. It was the offense. The other surprise, I think, here on Black Monday was that Raheem Morris is out in Atlanta. Now, the Falcons didn't have a good year. That's obvious. But they closed the season playing halfway decent football. And apparently, Raheem Morris is really liked in that locker room. But nope, we've seen Atlanta make a move. So there we go. That's the butcher bill so far here on Black Monday. Unless somebody got let go while I press start here. By the way, Dale doing a little extra research here. Shador Sanders ends the 2025 season with an 18.9 QBR. That's the 5th worst mark among 696 quarterbacks who have attempted at least 200 passes since 2006. Gah. That's bad. Speaking of bad, this damn internet connection is just going to be the death of me, folks. I restart this router. I reboot everything all the time. It's pissing me off. I'm a little fuzzy. We don't have much show left anyways. So if you wanted examples of bad teams, there were plenty out there. And believe me, the San Francisco 49ers are not one of them. We got Dale saying, expectation reset and knocking out the Eagles is my Super Bowl. There you go. Let it happen, Dale. The guy is an idiot, Damon. These Raiders are a losing franchise, not the Niners. Again, thank you. Rita, Raiders announced they have a new head coach, Mike Singletary. I want winners.
Oy, oy, oy.
Poor Mike. One of the worst head football coaches I've ever seen. One of my favorite football players of all time. You think Starlink can help me out here, Niner Mafia? Starlink? I don't know if Starlink will get into my basement, but I maybe. Get Starlink. Maybe that is the way to go. I don't know. One last NFL note for you. And this one, this is just, you know, it's sad because I liked him as a player. And then, God, what he and his wife had to go through. Colts cornerback, former 49er, Mooney Ward, Chavarius Ward, now Chavarius Ward Sr., says that he is about to decide whether or not he is going to retire due to his concussion problems. He said his dad wants him to retire. When your dad is telling you to quit a job that pays multi-millions and is the X marks the spot of your entire lifetime pursuit, maybe your dad is seeing something in you that concerns him. What Chavarius Ward and his wife had to go through with the death of their infant child when he was with the San Francisco 49ers is just so staggeringly heartbreaking. I can't even fathom it. If I think about it for a second, I start to cry. There, but for the grace of God, go all parents. And I look at it this way. Chavarius Ward, if the money's right, walk away. Walk away. Do it. It's time. It's just do it. If you think your noodle is getting scrambled, walk away. Walk away. Go love your wife. Go live a wonderful life. So I wish him the very, very best. Couple of other things. Speaking of wonderful life and wishing very best, my mom is in town for one more day before she goes back to Sarasota, and I'm about to hop in the car with her and take her to do the one thing she likes doing the most when she's in San Francisco. We're going to head on down to the Buena Vista and get the Duchess an Irish coffee. Nothing makes her happier than that. So we're going to take the Duchess to Buena Vista here in just a little bit, which means we got just a little bit for you. But thank you for hitting like and subscribe today. Thank you for being a part of this. Thank you for the super chats for those of you who came on in with that. Every super chat between now and I leave for Atlanta buys me a beer in I keep on calling it the Georgia Dome. It's the Mercedes-Benz Dome, though. Can't wait to see that place. It looks awesome. So I'm really excited about this Peach Bowl. I'm not lying. I'm going to get together with friends who I haven't seen in a real, real long time. It's going to be a great little in-and-out trip to Atlanta. I'm in on Thursday. I'm out on Saturday. So it's going to be fun. The Warriors are 10 days away from being able to move Jonathan Kuminga. Today is January 5th. They can't move him without punitive whatever until the 15th. So here it is, 10 days. How many coach DMPs will Jonathan Kuminga get between now and then? Could you imagine he goes out, plays, and tears his ACL? Can you stuck with him? I mean, what do you do? They've so mismanaged this. They've gone about ruining their own ability to have one of their best young athletic players out on the court with them. They've ruined his own trade value. It's kind of a mess. There's a lot of the people who are like, oh, there's already a deal done. They already have an agreement with somebody under the table that we'll all find out about on the 15th. No, there are no secrets in the NBA. If that were true, that would have been leaked by now. So I don't believe that at all. And look, the Warriors are a 19-17 basketball team who has a roughly constructed roster with not enough size or athleticism or rebounding on it. They have had a very rough start to their season in terms of, is this schedule here to be your friend or your enemy? They've had an enemy schedule. It has not been good on their old men bodies. It feels like the schedule is about to come back to them a little. And that's good news. That is good news. If the schedule comes back to them a little, maybe this goes in a positive direction for the Warriors. They're about to have a 9-game homestand. They play at the Clippers this evening. And look out for that, because Kawhi's been cooking. Kawhi's been on a tear lately. He's like found the fountain of youth or whatever. But Kawhi's been playing really, really strong basketball lately. And it's Warriors at Clippers tonight. And then after that, it's a 9-game homestand. Milwaukee, Sacramento, Atlanta, Portland, winnable teams. Then it's the Knicks. And that game is on the 15th. That game is on the 15th. So we'll see what the Warriors do. By the time the Knicks are in town, Jonathan Kuminga may not be. By the way, hold on. We got another super here. Oh, it's my man, Barry in Memphis. Buy the Duchess a cup of Joe on Barry and Mary. Thank you very much. We will do that. Appreciate you. Oh, Michelle. I almost reject this. Michelle and I are friends. I love Michelle Haberman. Oh, hey, Mom. Come on in. Come on. Wait. Look at this. How well-timed is this? So Michelle Haberman and I are warring because she's an Oregon Duck, and I am, you know, Indiana's playing Oregon this weekend, but the Duchess is here, and she says, buy the Duchess an Irish coffee on me. Look at that.
Thank you. That's where we're headed after the show, I think. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, everybody.
On Facebook, and hello, everybody.
There you go.
Happy New Year, guys.
Are you ready to go? Tip a few back?
So, yes.
There we are.
Yes, I am.
All right.
Mwah. Happy New Year. You're all, this guy scared me.
Love you. Love you, Mom.
See you soon.
Bye. All right, Michelle. Feud off temporarily, but we'll be back on the minute we finish that Irish coffee. Go Hoosiers. Happy New Year to the mom. Happy New Year, Mama Bruce. Dale, I'm very, very lucky. Very, very lucky. I still got my mom, and believe me, I'm lucky. I lost my dad. I still got Mama Bruce. The Duchess is with us. Come on now. Everyone loves the Duchess. Everyone loves the Duchess. Everyone loves the Duchess. Everyone loves the Duchess. Thank you very, very much, Red Jet. Gorgeous. She is. She's in, when they make the movie of the Pluse, we're going to have to cast, I've always said, either Lonnie Anderson has to play my mom, or the woman who played the mom in A Christmas Story needs to play my mom in the movie about the Pluse. Mom, she is beautiful, Barry. I'm very, very light. It's where the kids get their looks from. It's why my sister is very beautiful. I take after my dad. Excuse me. Yes, Seth Rogen. Hold on here. Seriously, squad goals. We do have some squad goals. Yes, JN, Seth Rogen. Seth Rogen is going to play. He gets the part. There's no doubt about that. Okay. Thank you for the supers. Thank you for the love. Thank you for liking, subscribing. Thank you to the Duchess. Can we get some playoff picks from the Queen? Money Green, you already know. She's taking the Redskin potatoes to win the whole thing. Yeah, Jillian's DNA is helping those kids tremendously. Are you kidding me? Leslie, you know it. Seth Rogen, he gets the job. Let's see. I just want to let you know that part of the Christmas haul for the Bruce boys was a couple of Sharks t-shirts in March. Go Sharks! In March 1st. So not deep into March, but March 1st, we're going to a Sharks game. We're taking the boys to a Sharks game. We're sitting in the upper deck just so they can see all the projections they do on the ice. And I made sure that my tickets were directly across from the big shark head that the players skate out of. Ozzy saw that in a pregame show. He saw those hockey players coming out of the shark head. I've never seen him as excited about sports as that. So we are going to have a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old at a Sharks game wearing Sharks gear. Go Sharks! Yeah, both boys know about Ralph Barbieri. Uncle Ralph, as they know him. But yeah, boys are getting excited. And why not? The Sharks are 20-18-3 on the season. They'll be hosting the Blue Jackets on Tuesday. Go Sharks! It's officially time for a little Today in History, and then it's going to be Today in Irish Coffees for me and the Duchess. Here we go. As always, we start with happy birthdays. Happy 95th birthday to Robert Duvall. I mean, come on. Maybe he wasn't a wartime consigliere, but God, Robert Duvall is a great actor. He's great in everything he's ever been in. Robert Duvall, 95 years old. By the way, here's a name you don't know, but a face you're instantly going to recognize. Clancy Brown is 67 years old today. This is one of the most recognizable movie actors whose name you never knew. This is Clancy Brown. He was the prison guard in Shawshank. He's been in a million other things. What is he in HBO's? He's been in a lot of things. Clancy Brown. 67 years old. It's Marilyn Manson's 57th birthday today. The beautiful people. I never liked Marilyn Manson, but that song kind of rocked. The guitar licks in that. That was like a listen to it before a lacrosse game. Listen to it before a football game level fire you up shit. Let's see. Bradley Cooper. 51 years old today. Happy birthday, Bradley Cooper. I can't believe you're only a year older than me and you look that much better than I do. You must work out. You must eat well. You must have had Botox. Somebody's dyeing your hair. Okay. Today, in 1889, the word hamburger first appeared in print in the Walla Walla Union in Walla Walla, Washington, which is, of course, where Bugs Bunny was coming from when he was selling his little Duster Buster from Walla Walla, Washington. But yeah, the word hamburger appearing for the first time in print today in 1889. And thank God for that moment. I've been on Team Hamburger since the day I got here, as you can clearly see. Today in 1914, the Ford Motor Company announced an 8-hour workday, and that it would be paying a living wage of at least $5 for the day's labor. Not $5 an hour, $5 for your whole day. It was a different time. But there you go, 1914, damn Henry Ford. He invented the 8-hour workday as we know it. Speaking of a little something we're all familiar with here in San Francisco, happy birthday to the construction of the Golden Gate Bridge. Construction of the Golden Gate Bridge got underway today in 1933. So there's that. Not bad. You want to talk about wouldn't happen today. Today in 1945, Pepe Le Pew debuted in Warner Brothers' Odorable Kitty. Instead of adorable, it was Odorable Kitty. Pepe Le Pew. You know what? Screw you, modern society. Pepe Le Pew cartoons are still funny. They rock. I loved Pepe Le Pew. Go Pepe Le Pew. He's just so wrong. It's a cartoon. Okay. Today in 1957, if you're really wondering where that Giants and Dodgers rivalry took that next step forward, well, Jackie Robinson was a part of that because today in 1957, Jackie Robinson decided that instead of accepting a trade to the New York Giants, he would retire. There you go. That's how much Jackie the Dodger didn't want to be Jackie the Giant. He retired. Today in 1973, Bruce Springsteen released his debut album, Greetings from Asbury Park. That's a big moment in time. Bruce Springsteen is a big deal still to this day. So starting today in 1973, Bruce Springsteen's takeover of music began. Speaking of musical takeovers, today in 1975, The Wiz, the Broadway musical, opened. It ran for about 4 years. Of course, it would be turned into a movie. And I got to tell you, outside of Ease On Down the Road, which is the single best song to come out of any Wizard of Oz anything. Any Wicked, Ease On Down the Road is better than anything coming out of Wicked. Ease On Down the Road to me is better than freaking Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Maybe isn't as iconic, but better than any other song that's in. Ease On Down the Road is a monster. I mean, you had Michael Jackson, you had Diana Ross, you had Quincy Jones, you had Nipsey Russell. Like every single, you had Richard Pryor. Every single major black celebrity is in the movie The Wiz, and people have a lot of fond memories of the movie The Wiz. I'm telling you, it's like an episode of The A-Team. You can't get 10 minutes through it before you're like, wow, this is bad. The Wiz, it's not a good movie. It isn't. It isn't. After you get to Ease On Down the Road, you've crescendoed that movie. I know I'm stepping on some people's hearts here. The Wiz is not a very good movie. Watch it again if you don't believe me. Tell me if you get the whole way through The Wiz. Much more important to the culture than The Wiz, in my opinion, is what happened today in 1980. Today, Rapper's Delight by the Sugar Hill Gang became the first ever rap song to chart in the top 40 Billboard Hot List. First rap song ever in the top 40. And I'm going to tell you right now, you can put on Rapper's Delight today. It misses nothing. It stands the test of time. The first rap song to ever be a hit. If it came out today, it would be a hit. It's still hip hop, a hibbit to the hip hop. It just doesn't stop. Rock on to the beats that up jump the boogie to the boogie to the boogie. I mean, it's unstoppable to this day. 2025. Awesome song. Not nearly as awesome as a song, but it did create one of the greatest sound bites I ever had to play on a radio show. I wish I had it here. But Flo Rida's and T-Pain's Low came out today in 2008, and it stayed the number one hit in America until the middle of March. This thing had like a 10-week run. A 10-week run is the number one song in America. And it gave us the Gary St. Jean soundbite, Apple Bottom Jeans, Boots with Fur. Which I wish I had that. I don't have the Apple Bottom Jeans, Boots with Fur, Gary St. Jean soundbite. But that's one of the best things that ever came out of my show. By the way, the regular Ryan says, I love when you used to ask your mom to predict Montreal Expos games on the radio. Yeah, the Montreal Expos left Montreal years ago, and I would still ask her how the Expos were doing, and she'd give a little bit of an update, and it was fantastic. Thank you, regular Ryan, for listening all those years. That's a long time ago radio. And thank you to all of you for being here today. It really is cool to hang out with you again. I mean, I love when I do shows through all hours of the day, whether it be early with Larry for a wake up or later in the afternoon sometimes, or it's a live watch party. But this is the heartbeat of what this channel is. This 11 a.m. West Coast show, the regulars that get together, all of us who have become actual friends in our life. It's really cool. It's really cool that we've done this. And there's now 50,000 of us subscribed to this channel. So many of you here today have been here since day one. I mean, you know what this was like when we had 5,000 subscribers. We were at 10,000 subscribers. How excited we were to get to 25,000. Now we're at 50. Let's get to 100. I heard I get a fancy plaque. Big deal. Pay me when I get to 100. But thank you, thank you, thank you. And by the way, now what you hear is not a test. I'm rapping. The groove and my friends going to groove and move your feet. I'm Wonder Mike. I'd like to say hello. It's all there, Barry. It doesn't sound as good as I read it as it does when it flows from Wonder Mike into his mic. But I thank you also very, very much for being here today. It means an awful lot. Thank you for enjoying today in history. Thanks for all the supers. Thanks for a few beers and a few Irish coffees that you just brought the Duchess. It's great to hang out with you again. We're going to be back at 11 a.m. on Tuesday. Our buddy Sam Batesh is coming on by, working on a little someone coming on by on Wednesday as well. We're going to really start leaning into 49ers and Eagles, but thank you so much for being here. It was great hanging out with you again. 601 shows. Here's to another 601 more, very, very least, here on YouTube, hanging out with you. It is my honor. Thank you for being here. And please do remember that sports don't build character. They reveal it. And like that, he's gone.